I'm just greeting the beginning of chapter 8 in the book of Nehemiah, where the directives are about the feast. So verse 3, he read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of men, women, and others who could understand, and all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Besides him on his right stood Shema, Anaya, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Messiah. And on his left were Pedaiah, Mikael, Malkijah, whatever, Hashum, etc. Verse 5. Yes, they were very, very Jewish. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands. Isn't that a cool clue? And responded, Amen, amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground in humility. Isn't that awesome? The Levites, Jeshua, Bani, and etc., all the names, okay, instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priests, and the scribes and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the word of the law. So you can see by the fruit, they were impacted in an incredible way. Because now they're weeping and he's saying, don't weep. This is not a time to, you know, slobber or fall all over the ground here. What you're supposed to do is get happy, okay? And realize why. Well, undoubtedly, they're awakening to their own bondage. Because when they're in weeping position, meaning they're hearing the rules and regulations of the law, and if you and I are weeping, that speaks totally, oh my God, we disobeyed.
Condemnation.
Yeah. So now he's giving them the way to turn it around. Verse 10, Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some of those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. There again, you see the Lord is telling you through St. Paul. Is it something new? No, it was in Nehemiah's day. The Levites calmed all the people, saying, be still, for this is a sacred day. Do not grieve. Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. So again, in this time of celebrating the feast, I believe as the Holy Spirit gives you understanding, which you've described some of it already, understanding came by the attendants. They didn't get changed when they were in bondage in Babylon. They became changed when they began to see, oh my God, look at what's available for us. And now I can change my habits because I've been worshiping the wrong God. I've been worshiping maybe other things. And so they were awakened and they understood. Well, who's the spirit of counsel?
Holy Spirit.
So Holy Spirit was literally all through there, waking them up, awakening them not only to the mistakes they were making, but then to give them a celebration that provision had already been made. And they were beginning to understand. Verse 13. On the second day of the month, the heads of all the families, along with the priests and the Levites, gathered around Ezra, the scribe, to give attention to the word of the law. They found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, that the Israelites were to live in booths during the feast of the seventh month. Is that clear enough? They were to live in booths. So now you know this is the Feast of Booths, or Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Sukkot. And that they should proclaim this word and spread it throughout their towns and in Jerusalem. So some were in their own villages celebrating. Some were in the city of Jerusalem because they were commissioned. And I believe if you look back at the legal aspect of this, it was the men that were supposed to separate themselves to go to Jerusalem. Go into all the hill country and bring back branches from olive and wild olive trees and from myrtle and palms and shade trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went out and brought back branches and built themselves booths on their own roofs, in their courtyards, or in the courts of the houses of God, in the courts of the house of God, and in the square by the water gate, and the one by the gate of Ephraim. The whole company that had returned from exile built booths and lived in them. Obedience. Obedience. Do you think they felt? I mean, you know, they've been living in Babylon for how many years? And now they got to go to work again, you know. But they did it in obedience. And that's what I call obedience. In other words, they were commissioned, but they still did it by choice. From the day of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated it like this, and their joy was very great. Day after day, from the first day of the last, Ezra read from the book of the law of God, they celebrated the feast for 7 days. And on the eighth day, in accordance with the regulations, there was an assembly. So I rest my case to give you insight. There's a lot of other areas where you can look, but you can see that they were transformed when they obeyed. They were realizing their mistakes. They were changing something about them. And the Lord, from their direction, by the leaders, was get happy. It's not a time to cry. It's not a time to feel sorry about what you did. It's a time to recognize that there's a new season ahead of you. And if you look at what they did on the Day of Atonement, they were setting aside sacrifice, and there was going to be the scapegoat, which is a picture of Jesus, and we could go on all there. But all of these things were coordinated together. So they had this season of harvest. And tonight, as I was having my snack before I came, there was a Jewish rabbi who wrote a book about the feast. And I'm sure he probably had a lot of material on there. But the gentleman who was kind of hosting the program said, I want to show you the good part of the Feast of Tabernacles. And he had a huge, long table with every kind of fruit available. And I was thinking about the cherries and the grapes that showed up. Okay? And these are the things that I believe the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Have you realized how much fruit that we're being prepared for us for the days ahead? When I was a kid, my mother and my grandmother would get together, and all the fruit picking that was done during the summer including the peaches and the apples and the pears and all these things were canned for the winter. We couldn't go to the grocery store and buy. Mm-hmm. What were they doing at harvest time in Israel? Bringing in all of the products of the land? Yes, and enjoying it. Okay? And if you want to see a religious coordinate that matches a little bit, you have our Thanksgiving. Our Thanksgiving was set aside in the fall, and I'm sure the pilgrims may have had a calendar of the Jewish nation. I'm not sure whether they did or didn't, but they still set aside a time to thank the Lord. And our nation is the only nation that I know of outside of Canada, because Canada has theirs in October, which their harvest is earlier than us, so it matches. Okay? So, did all the traditions of the Jews get carried over? Some of them actually slipped in. Okay? But I believe it took maybe how many years before they took everything Jewish out of their religious experience? I don't think they got rid of it all overnight. I believe many of the people who were real Jews celebrated their feasts just the same, probably in secret. And to God be the glory, they took time to honor the Lord. And when this nation was formed, they took the traditions of the pilgrims, which were believers, and they carried that forward. Now, they didn't take it for the whole week, but they did at least for a weekend. And that's something to be said, that they were honoring God and they were purposing to give him thanks. And so it's kind of a little bit of the traditions of what the Jews were doing. Not to the exact level, because I don't remember in my experience going to church at Thanksgiving morning, yes. But it was a 1 hour duty that you did as an offering to God. But as far as listening to the word for a day or a complete morning, no, you didn't do that. And in fact, even now, if you ask a lot of the religious folks that go to church on Christmas and whatever other days that they might go, they go in, but it's duty. It's compulsion. It's not obedience. They're not going there because they want to go. They go because they have to go. And the Jews were commissioned. They had to go. So they went, but their obedience was more or less a forced issue. When we started, and I remember when I went to the West Coast a few times, and my probable dramatic change came in 97. And in 1997, I went with a group from Grace. In fact, you were with us, I think. Or did you go to Washington, D.C.?
I went out of state. I went 2 days up to Vermont.
Oh, Vermont. Okay.
Yeah.
That was Royal that was there.
Yeah, that was just obedience. I said, I couldn't go. I had big responsibilities.
Yeah.
And the Lord spoke and said, whatever time you can, you do. And I said, 2 days, and that was fine.
Yeah. Well, we were 1 week with Wade Taylor on Massachusetts Avenue. And are there any questions before we go any further on what this is saying here? Is there any highlight that sits with you? Yes.
So when they built the booths, and did they just like eat and sleep
yeah.
in there?
Yeah, some of them. Well, again,
and,
I'm
and
sure if it was
pray?
Extreme. Huh?
Did they eat, sleep, and pray in there?
I would say, it says live in them. So it was getting out of your natural house.
So it was okay. Families.
Oh yeah, families, of course.
In this one booth.
Yeah, it was built for their family and friends.
Yeah,
I'm sure if they had people from out of town.
It wasn't a dinky thing.
I don't know what I'm, when you're...
I know when you think of it on top of their roof, you don't...
Yeah, but don't forget, the house roof was probably the size of this room.
But weren't their roofs flat?
Yeah.
All of them were flat.
Yeah.
They collected the water, mm-hmm. and that was the container. And if you go to Israel, even today, their roofs are flat,
mm.
a
so
great majority.
Where do you suppose they went to listen to?
Courtyard.
They went to the courtyard.
The village courtyard, or the village common, if you wish. Mm. The village park.
So they'd come out of the booth.
Right.
Lunch. Oh, okay.
So they would come to the village and celebrate in that experience.
I thought they were in that booth. That was
Now, if there was a synagogue, they might go inside if it was bad weather. But usually in that season, it's very, very dry in Israel. So, you know, you don't have too much rain. You might have a little bit, but...
Now, this is not a question per se about this, but if I don't ask it now, I'm going to forget it because it is about the Jewish people.
Yeah.
Can you explain to me what the difference between a Jew, mm-hmm. an Orthodox Jew, and a... It begins with M.
Reformed Jew.
Messianic. It's a messianic... Still Jewish, but has accepted the Lord.
Yeah.
Orthodox is the old time.
Old patterns, high Catholic.
Like high mass, like a high mass.
In Latin.
Okay.
Higher up.
And then just a regular.
A regular low mass. Well, you only get two candles.
And that's just a Jew then. That's just.
And some of them go and don't go. And you can laugh because that's what it is.
But I mean,
the Episcopalians, they have the high church and the low church, same thing.
Same with the church, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Does that help and bring some clarity? Yep. Because again, it says they understood the purpose, okay? When understanding happens in any of us, there's an awareness, oh my God, you're doing something, God. And I can also tell you that when you're identifying some of your, like we talked about, the idols in our lives, do you think the enemy is not going to hound you a little bit?
More.
Yeah. Because he wants to see how you're going to act and react.
So, oh no, I just had a... Oh, so the Orthodox Jew is still thinking the Messiah is going to come.
Yes, and he is looking at the Old Covenant and still operating in that legalism in every way. How they cut their hair, how they dress, what they wear. Everything is scheduled ahead.
The ones that wear those hats. And
And there's different. There's different coordinates.
They were on the plane when we went to Israel.
Yeah.
And at a certain time of day, they would all gather in a corner of the plane.
Yeah.
Very, very loud in their prayers.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yes.
Oh yeah.
Similar. See again.
And they allowed it on the plane. Chris, what could they do?
They can.
If that
plane was an Israeli plane. It wasn't an American plane. It was an Israeli plane.
Oh. You also have conservative Jews.
Huh?
You also have conservative Jews.
Oh, yes.
Sure. Now you got to give me another one?
Well, these are, they don't follow all the things that the most religious side of things.
The Orthodox.
Okay, the Orthodox. But they are very committed to following things just the way they ought to be. I had the opportunity of traveling for many hours with a conservative Jew. Who is frankly one of my mentors, Bo Barbinow. So, Bo Barbinow. So.